Good morning. It's a blessing to be here this morning. With the thoughts I have to share, I was the last song. I kind of came in on the last song. Father, in us thy Son reveal. And it goes along very well with what I want to share with you today. And I was just thinking about that. As we live our life as a Christian, there is or should be a great desire for us not only to be Christian in name, but to be Christian in deed and in life. And that song so beautifully says, Father, in us, thy Son reveal. And how is Christ revealed in us? It is us living like Christ, living like little Christ here on the earth. And as we face difficulties, as we face turmoil, and we're all aware of the turmoil in the world today, as we're here today, the world is in tremendous, tremendous turmoil. And as we look at these things, and this is a little bit of my own ponderings the last few weeks, as we look at these things, our hearts at times tremble. Our hearts at times fear, and we wonder, what is before us? In Peter, we're commanded to live in peace, to be filled with peace. And you know, if Jesus Christ is evident in us, if we're walking with Christ, that peace is going to be evident. We're going to be walking. If we are not walking in peace, if we cannot have peace through these circumstances, I question my own walk. Where am I at if I can't have that true peace, that true rest, that true comfort in knowing that no matter what happens, no matter what happens, we're walking with the Lord today. And whatever happens, we know that He'll take care of us. And how He'll take care of us, we don't all know. Many of these things are before us, and we don't know exactly what life all holds for us. But we're thankful that we have one in whom we can trust. So today, for a few opening thoughts, something I have been thinking about for a while. It's something that is very practical in the fact that we use it a lot at work. And as I was thinking one day, I don't know if I was using it, I just thought, wow, does this not fit in to how a Christian is to live? Does this not apply so directly and affect my life in just this small thing? The thought I have today is Christ our benchmark? At work, with some of the commercial projects we have, we get a print, a big print, and then at the center of the print, there's a dot, and it says 00.00. That's our benchmark. And everything that we do on that project, we get our measurements from that spot. Everything we do throughout that whole project, we always go back and we put our laser sticks or we pull our tape measures off of that one spot. And as long as we go back to that spot, we are guaranteed at the end of the project that it will turn out well. If we move off to the side a little bit, it's not going to be right. It could vary a half inch, it could vary a three quarter, it could vary an eighth inch. But as we go back, we may do a large project, but that is our benchmark. That is where we pull everything from. And so as I was thinking of this, and I thought it would be worthwhile to consider who is our benchmark. This word is never used in the Bible, but I looked up the meaning of the word benchmark. It is a standard or a point of reference against which things, may be compared or assessed. Now, I understand this is an analogy, and all analogies can fall apart at times in comparing as we are comparing it today. But is it not true that as we walk through this life, we too have a benchmark? We too have an example of something that all our life is judged by. It doesn't matter who we think judges our life, or it doesn't matter what we think matters. You know, I had this image here several months ago. It came to me several times that I was thinking about coming before the Lord, and on that great day when we shall all appear before His throne and we're bowing before Him. And we all have, and I don't know if this will happen, but we all have our thing, and we say, well, Lord, this and this. I don't care. I don't care. He doesn't care about what we say or what we think, because He has the final word. He is the benchmark. He is that which all things in this world are compared to in this life of godliness and Christian life. We compare ourselves. The measurement, our desires, our wants are brought before Him, and He is the one that tells us where to go, how to do it, what is perfect, what is not. If there's ever a question, if you ever have a question on our jobs, if we have a question, is this right? Is this form set right, or is this post the right measurement? You can always go back and you pull that line off of that one point and you say, yes, it's right, or no, it isn't. And it's the same way as we walk with Christ. It's the same way as if we have a question, is this the right way? We go to His Word, we go to Him in prayer, and we assess our lives. We assess the question by the mark, by the benchmark, by Christ Himself. In Hebrews 3, verse 1, it says, wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and the high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus. And here is a verse in Scripture that says to consider. Pay careful attention to, look upon, gaze upon, think about, meditate upon, worship. We always should be finding ourselves going back to that. And then in going back a little bit to what I shared earlier about peace, as we find ourselves having this turmoil in our hearts, this feeling of doubt and fear and wonder and, you know, what are things going to look like for my family and how are things going to look and all of this. As I find myself just going back to the Word of God and meditating, reading, considering, and just simply saying, I choose to trust the one that said this. He will take care of us. And that is the way that we can find peace in the midst of these circumstances. And some of these thoughts may come a little bit from some things that I have been thinking about and some things that I have, maybe you could say, struggled through in the last several months, trying to find answers or had some questions and just, you know, wondering. And a lot of that, and all of that, not a lot of that, all of that comes back to becoming, to look, to consider, to gaze upon, to measure. In 1 John 3, verse 3, and every man that hath this hope in him, purifieth himself even as he is pure. So I may now take a little different direction here in one more verse here, 2 Corinthians verse 3, chapter 3, verse 18. And I have these verses wrote out, so I'm not necessarily turning to them. But it says, "But we all with an open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory." And I had to think about that again as in other translations, and I don't know about all, I checked three or four, it says that it calls that glass a mirror, which I think is accurate probably. And as we go back to that mirror, as we stand before that mirror, and as we look into that mirror, it reflects, and we can see, and we look, and we consider, and we ponder. Does the image on this side mirror the image on that side? And if it doesn't, what is it going to take for the image on this side to be like the image on that side? You know, that is something that we should all carefully consider today. We can all have, and I'm speaking to myself, so it's not, I'm just saying this, we can all have this preconceived idea of how we look, of how we think we really are, or how we think we're really doing. And you know, it does not matter today how we think we're really doing. It does not matter how we think that we're really doing. It matters what the image in that mirror is telling us. That's what really matters. That is what changes us. That is what reveals Christ in us. Several verses here in John 17 that I'd like to look at. And as I was thinking about this, I couldn't help but think about the perfect example that Jesus left us of this John 17 verse 8. It says, "For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me." Here Jesus simply says, "I've given them. I've given them that which thou gavest me." As he was looking and as he was praying and as he was seeking the Father, as he was seeking his Father, you know, he was receiving too. He was being given words as well. And as he was given these words, he was careful to give that which thou gavest me. I have given them. I thought there were several more verses here, but that may be... No, here it is. Yes, here it is. John 8, verse 28 through 29. I'll give you a few minutes to turn there. John 8, verse 28 through 29. Jesus speaking here, "Then said Jesus unto them, When ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am He, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. And He that hath sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please Him. Again, a beautiful picture for us as Jesus, the Son of the Most High God. It says, and it talks about it, Jesus, the Word. It talks about Him in the Word in 1 John, in John 1. He was with the Father from the beginning. That Jesus was looking to the Father. That Jesus was receiving. That Jesus was being given to. And how much more us man, us here on this earth. I would like to think a few minutes now about after we have the example, after we've considered what we should be. I was thinking about, you know, what is it that makes us, you know, this is such a beautiful example, but so often we find ourselves looking around. We find ourselves looking to other things for our benchmark, as we're using it today. Jesus Christ, His Word, the Word of God. And a few things that I was considering is our spiritual life is not measured by our friends. It's not measured by those around us. It is measured by the Word of God. And I want you to think with me very carefully, because I think that this is a greater trap than what we realize. I think it is so easy for us to begin to gauge our life by those around us. Well, I think we're doing okay. I seen him do that last week, and it seemed like he's doing pretty well, and that was, you know, he did it, so I think I should be able to get by with that. You know, it can't be that big of a deal, you know. I kind of struggle with those things myself. And we begin to look at each other and we begin to compare ourselves among ourselves, and the Bible says that's not wise. But we begin to look at around us and say, huh, they do that. They seem to have something. I mean, they're doing this and they're doing that. And just now as I'm speaking, you know, in Revelations it talks to us about that. You do this well, but you're cold. And I think so often we find ourselves gauging ourselves by the completely wrong things. I do. Or we can say, well, you know, I know I do this, but I know I probably shouldn't. No, this is probably maybe not what I should do, but, you know, it's not quite as bad as what he did. It's just, you know, how it is. And you know where it finds us? We are so foggy. We are so foggy. When we try to make a decision on something, boy, we can just barely discern how to make this decision, and we're looking at it, and we're looking at it through the lenses of our self-made righteousness, or whatever you want to talk about it, and we look at it and we say, well, we've made an excuse for that in my life, and because of this, so I'm not going to judge that situation. I'm not talking judging in the wrong sense, but we're just, you know, we're just not going to say anything about it because whatever. It's just, I do this, and I found myself doing that. I was thinking about a situation, and I don't even recall what the situation was. And I thought, I should really say something about that. And then I thought, oh, if I say something about that, what about this? If I say that, it's going to condemn this in my life. And it just hit me. I was just astonished. I said, this is wrong. This is wrong in every sense. We are not to judge by what we experience. We are to judge by the Word of God. We are to judge by that benchmark. When there's a question, we go back to the original. We go back to that which never changes and it cannot lie. It can be many different things. You know, one thing that I think is so overlooked in my life and in as I've considered just life in general is anger. You know, I say, all of a sudden it just poof. It just pops out of me. And so I want to justify that situation because it felt kind of good, you know, to just let it all out, let them tell them how you feel about it. And so I begin to say, well, if I go back and say sorry or make things right or I look at the Word of God and I feel that condemnation, and so I'm just going to leave it. And then we begin to sow that seed of there's a seed that is planted in the heart at that point, I believe, that can go on for a long time till it is pulled out. And I will tell you, there is many of these seeds there's many things that we could talk about. And we do these things, and we don't go back to the Word of God and allow the Word of God to change us. Allow the Word of God, the person of Christ, to change us. A few other things I wrote down here. Lust. Lack of victory. Just a lack of victory. Just a lack of finding the grace of God to overcome something. What that is for your life, I don't know. What that is for my life, I know. But how do we find that? We go to the Word of God. And as I was thinking about this, I thought, you know, again, I just want to, before I go there, I'm going to again reiterate the importance. We go back, not to what this person said, not to what that person says, not to what this person thinks, but we go back to the Word of God. We look at it. We find, what does the Word say? Now, I'm not saying that you can't ever go to somebody and talk to them about something and ask them their opinion. That's perfect and right. But so often we find ourselves depending on what somebody tells us. And we are not setting our feet on a rock. The Word of God. And we are not allowing this right here to establish us as Christians. And I'm telling you, there's a time coming when you're not going to have this person beside you. When I'm not going to have Brother Allen to tell me what to say. There may even come a time when this is not in your hands anymore to say, well, let's look here, and you start paging through. There's a time coming when you're going to have to stand on your own two feet and you're going to have to give an answer for the hope that lieth within you. And it may come at a cost. So I'm just saying, let's consider the Word of God. Let's allow that to change us. One thing I would just appeal to all of you is, as we hear these things, let's not go home and say, "Ooh, here's something else for us to do. Oh boy, where our benchmark is here, and so I better start." You know, if you're doing that, you've really missed the point. This needs to be changed from the inside out. If this is not changed from the inside of you and comes out from your life, it's not real. You know, it's a little bit like I put on my sweatshirt in the morning. You know, I pull it over my head, and during the winter I pull three of those things over my head. But is that how we live our Christian life at times? Well, there's something else. Here's something else. No. It's to change us. It's to make us a completely different person from the inside. The inside. And it's manifested in our life. And that's something that I would just... is a plea for myself. As I was studying this yesterday afternoon, I was studying it and I was just... I fell on my knees and I said, Lord. Lord, where am I? Where am I really at in all of this? You know, it's so clear. It's so, as you look into it, it's so obvious that this is where things are to be. Okay, I have a scripture wrote down here, but I am... Okay, it was a scripture that I alluded to earlier. I'll just read it here. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 12. For we dare not to make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves, but they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. Just a verse that I... Matthew 5:48, and a lot of you can probably just quote this from heart. I can too, unless I'm standing in front of a bunch of people. Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father, which in heaven is perfect. A perfect gauge for us again. A perfect measuring point. A perfect point for us to go back to measure our life. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15 through 17. It's not the Bible that I normally use, so I have a little hard time finding it. Seems like it should be on this side of the page, and it's on this side. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing whom thou hast learned them. And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. I have a few more, just a couple more verses in closing here. Romans chapter 8, verses 1 through 4. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us. Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Too many of us are trying to fulfill the law. And I say too many, that's a statement I probably shouldn't have made. But many times we're trying to fulfill the righteousness, which is by the law through the flesh. And it doesn't work. And that's why we find ourselves struggling with the same thing over and over again. The Word of God has been given to us to cleanse us, to purge us, and as a measurement for our lives. Thank you.